webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution podcast for the 14th of May 2015 from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought from the station of freedom. We're coming to you from the Highly Righteous JR Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, where we say the best teachers are those who tell you where to look, but don't tell you what to see. And here from Houston, Texas, is that great unteacher himself, the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, that teacher that will tell you where to look, but not always tell you what to see, Mr. Michael Williams. G'day, Michael. How are you?
G'day, Barris. I am wonderful, my friend. Having a good day here in Houston. I woke up a bit early this morning with some good things on my mind and been looking forward to the show.
Oh, great. You're going to share them with us today?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay.
You never know. Sometimes you drop your bucket in the well and you get something. Sometimes you just come up dry. So.
Well, mate, this week I want to start off with a... just a comment that we got in from our good friend Vic Dobrennan from way up there in Canada.
What's Vic saying?
Vic says, "Hello, Mike and Barris. Listening to the Book of Galatians, it is fantastic. Lots of very interesting stuff, especially pertinent to Barris's new Facebook page, Theo History, re the timeline from crucifixion onwards. I don't know if this question has been asked before. My question is, if Jesus was God, why did he pick such turkeys as apostles?" love it, Vic. "He chose Paul after he died and was resurrected. If he would have chosen 12 smart people like Paul, wouldn't he have brought the kingdom to its fullest without all the suffering mankind has endured fighting over these doctrines? Cheers." Vic, hey, Vic, you don't get to just throw a thorn out from the rose bush like that and say, "Cheers, Vic." No. What do you reckon?
You know, he's one of those Canadians that's very British.
Oh, he's a hit-and-run gorilla. He's a hit-and-run gorilla. I mean, you can tell that. Cheers,
exactly.
Vic.
You know, actually... I have had a phone conversation with Vic, so I have to tell you that Vic is already satisfied with the answer to this question, so we're just not going to address it.
That's what I like. Hey, let's get on with the show now.
Now, the short and the sweet of it is, I think, pretty straightforward. If... and this, I do not mean in any derogatory way. Now, when the disciples start teaching and they teach things that just aren't the gospel, I'm sorry, I'm going to point out where that doesn't line up with the scripture every time. And Vic is right. We find the conflict with the gospel being coming from those who walked with him and talked with him.
And I walk with him and I talk with him.
I knew that was going to induce a song from our from the Aussie that was born under a pew conceived only God knows where. But
can you tell? Oh, really? I'll tell you where I was conceived. It was after a particularly romantic night between my mother and father, and after they came home from the movies. Anyway.
I knew this was going to lead even to worse. But, you know, we got to remember the issue before the cross was that the mystery be concealed. The issue after the cross was that the mystery be revealed. So if you want to conceal something, do you pick the smartest and the brightest?
Oh, that's original. I've never heard that before. Not like that anyway.
So, you know, hey, if I'm wanting to pull the wool over somebody's eyes, I'm going to find a dumb sheep, you know, not a, you know, smart dog someplace. And I'm being a bit facetious about that, but I really do believe that the disciples before the cross filled their destiny that they were chosen for, even as Judas did. They were chosen to deny Christ. They were chosen just the same as Judas, because Judas may have hanged himself, but all the rest of them denied Christ.
Oh, yeah. So what you're saying is if Peter had any integrity at all, he'd have hung himself too. And, of course, we know on the day of the crucifixion that all deserted him. Well, John might have hung around for half an hour with a cup of tea with Mary, but apart from that, they all deserted him. So
they all deserted him.
Yeah.
And of course, Thomas openly denied him in his resurrected presence.
For me, he was the most honest. He said, I mean, when Jesus is saying, hey, listen, I'm going to prepare mansions, and you know the way there. And Thomas says, hey, hasten it up a bit, son. He says, how do we know the way there? He said, what are you trying to pull on us, Jesus?
Yeah.
I mean, and then when Jesus in his glorified body appears, Thomas says, hey, what do you take me for, an idiot? Let me stick my fingers. For me, everyone else was saying, yeah, mansions. We're going to get a mansion. And Thomas is the only one with a gumption and honesty enough to say, hang on, Jesus, explain yourself. I think he was the most honest of the lot. Sorry.
No, I agree with you. But the fact remains that they all really denied Christ. But I think that was their job. Their job was to not see it.
They were born to fail?
They were born to fail. And just the same as Judas, and people might say, well, oh, how could you say they were born to fail? Well, what about Judas, you know?
Who was chosen by Jesus. What, Jesus didn't know what he was choosing then?
Yeah, and they knew what he was doing. But I think that's the crux of the matter, is that they were not, Jesus said to them all the way through his relationship with them, why is it that you have no faith and you don't understand? Well, I think Jesus was doing like Paul, who has bewitched you. Kind of rhetorical question. I think he knew why they didn't understand. I think he knew why they had no faith. It's because they weren't supposed to understand, and they weren't supposed to have any faith. And that was a part and parcel of the revelation of the faith of God to come to us. And also, Vic, now Vic just taught the book of Galatians. I can't remember now what the situation was, but he was, oh my gosh, by the time we got on the phone, I mean, Vic was ready to hit the ball and drag Charlie. And
don't you say that now, the picture is just, oh boy.
So he is not giving up on this, that's for sure. And So excited. I love to hear that excitement in anyone's voice, especially Vic, because you get that Canuck excited about the gospel, and boy, you've got something that is definitely been excited on your hands for sure.
Well, Vic said to me, he wrote me and said, look, because Theohistory is about tracing the, or joining the dots from the Apostle Paul to say about AD 400. And in doing that, I've said, how do you join the dots in the first couple hundred years? And Vic said, look, I think that any study of this nature has to begin in the book of Galatians. And, you know, I believe he's right. I wrote back and told him, look, I think you're absolutely right, because here in this book of Galatians, we learn so much about Paul from Paul's. Now, here is an interesting thing. Book of Romans is probably, and this is agreed to by even atheist religious teachers and agnostics, like Bart Ehrman, they say, if you want to see how good a legal mind Paul had, read Romans. Mm-hmm. Romans was written to an existing church that probably Peter did establish in order to make the biggest or the most prominent church in possibly in the world at that time understand exactly the difference between the Old Covenant, well, not the Old Covenant and New Covenant, but the Old Promise and the New Promise. Hebrews, when he wrote to Hebrews, he was writing to people who were Jews, and he was writing about the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But in Galatians, let me tell you, this guy's got he has a bee in his bonnet because somebody come against his babies. And in those three books, we see the beauty of the mind of this man. And last week, you really led us into some interesting stuff about this. Got any more on that?
Yeah, and I appreciate Vic bringing that up, because that's exactly what I woke up with on my mind this morning, was that I think there was much more in these verses, and I think that we didn't go far enough to get the complete thought of this out of these particular verses. Of course, we could back up to chapter 1, verse 1, and take a bigger runway at this, and then, you know, we could make the landing all the way from the end of the verses we're going into all the way to the end of Galatians, but we don't have the time for that. So we have a wonderful framework of time here to go into 10 verses. And so we're going to back up again, and we're going to start at the same place, and we're going to start in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, and we're going through verse 16. So this is what we went through last week, so you guys will be able to pick up with this very easily. And we're just going to drop right in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's the verses we covered, Barris. And I wanted to back up and let's go through this again to prepare us to finish these out. We've done those five verses, and we're going to go there's four verses, and we're going to go down six more. But to cruise through these next six, we want to reestablish what the subject is here. All right, Abraham believed God, and what was the result? Righteousness. Faith resulting in righteousness. We're going back to Abraham. I did a series years ago called The Seed of Abraham. It's a three-tape series. I've got to call my friend Donnie up in Billings, Montana. He's got a great deal. In fact, all of our archived stuff, and see if we can find that series, because Jeff tells me that we don't have it anywhere, and he's not seen it since he started working. But we did this series on Abraham because that is it's shocking when you realize that this covenant that we have, the covenant you are established in now in righteousness, was established before the law ever came. Oh, wow. Do we have some stuff to get into? So, Abraham believed God. It resulted in righteousness. Now, therefore, you need to know this, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, the term of there, Barris, let's get this word really nailed down as we go forward in this. Now, tell us once again what this word of, I know it's the Greek word is ek, E-K. Remember that, folks. When you see this, most of the time, this word of, the word, term ek, and it shows up in other forms, other translations. It shows up translated other ways also, but this term ek, and let's get the gravity of this word. So the term of, tell us what that Greek word is and give us the emphasis of it, Barris.
Well, in order to draw the obvious contrast, I'm going to go back to the word Abraham in verse 6, so the children of Abraham. Now, okay. There is a case that is used called the genitive case in Greek, and it's also in other modern languages, but it is best seen in English as... if I said John had a shirt and I said that that shirt was John's shirt, the apostrophe S on John's, the apostrophe S would be the genitive case in Greek. In other words, it was a shirt that belonged of John or to John, or it was somehow his property. So of Abraham, the children of Abraham, the of doesn't appear in the Greek as a special word. It appears as an addition to the word Abraham. It was and that addition to the word Abraham tells you very clearly that it was an ownership thing. Now, this word of or through faith in verse 7, know you therefore that they which are of faith. Now, that of is a specially separate, easily identified word in the Greek, ek, ek, and it means emanating from, coming out from. In our previous conversation, you actually said birthed out of. That's an excellent way of looking at it. But it comes from, if you look at the sun and the rays of the sun emanate from the sun, they come out to us from the sun. And it comes from the sun to us. It's out of the sun. That is the meaning of this word of faith.
And Barris, you know, really, I just finally saw that the context of this would back up the birthed from, because it says the children of Abraham.
Exactly. Yeah.
So even the context of it.
One of the bigger things gospel has done for me, like a thief, the gospel has taken away so many things from me. It's taken away guilt and fear, self-effort, judgment of other people. The gospel has set me free to fully explore various thoughts and beliefs. The gospel has allowed me to accept and value all people, learning from them. Everyone out there is my teacher, some way.
If the Bible is all about Jesus, don't you think that most churches would mention him with at least the same frequency as they mention all of their favorite dogmas and doctrine and all those rules of your particular brand of religion? Tithing, moralism, Old Testament law, abortion, gays, politics, all hail the leader, persecution, the end times, don't forget the bloody rules, God's perfect will for your life, fleeing youthful lusts, rock music, speaking in tongues, the coming kingdom, worldliness and how to escape. But those pesky rules, don't forget them. Heresy, prophecy, soul-winning, missions, offerings, wrong doctrine, right doctrine. And don't forget all those bloody rules. Relationships, long hair, short hair, dyed hair, liberalism, greasy grace, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, dispensationalism, and rules, rules, never-ending bloody rules. And Calvinism, Arminianism, a missionary service, Sunday school, swearing and cussing, besetting sins, sexual purity. Oh, and give us some more rules, won't you? False prophets, confession, dress code, mixed swimming, dancing, movies, television, dating. Oh, and did I mention the freaking rules?
Did you put it in the paper? Did you write it down in stone? Did you send a short text message or fax it from your home? Did you put it in a billboard? Make a little sign? Email or do Facebook? Anyway, it's fine. Gotta get out the gospel. Gotta get out the gospel. GospelRevolution.com.
Yeah, baby. Now, all the way through this passage, we're going to see this word ek come up time and again. It talks about people who have come ek the law, or people who have come ek faith.
Yes. And so that's one of the things we want to establish here is this term ek, out of. It is so, and Ek means you didn't have a thing to do with it.
It's like being born. I came ek my father and my mother.
Which is exactly what the genealogy list about Christ, when it says that so-and-so was born of, and it uses the term of there. Anybody can go back and look up these verses, and it means the born of is ek of. Mm-hmm. When you see the term born of, it is ek of.
That's excellent. That's very good.
So the power of this, the neutrality of the ek, of the eker.
Of the eker, yeah.
Yeah. In fact,
in this verse, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through ek faith, the heathen had nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
Okay.
The heathen had nothing to do with it. The heathen had nothing to do with their second birth any more than they did their first birth.
Well said.
All right. So, and these are the children of Abraham. See, we've got all of these comparisons running simultaneously, that this brilliant mind of Paul's is running four different comparisons at once, four different analogies and allegories are running at once here. And, I mean, his brain is operating on supersonic speed with the understanding of this. And, man, I can just see him just being up before people are writing this and just finding it difficult. How do I pack all of this into one sermon, so to speak? So, know ye therefore that they which are born of, you could even say born of.
Good.
They which are born of faith, the same are the children of, because the children of were born of.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no getting away from the Greek here as to what the intent of this and what it actually says. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen out of, or being birthed of faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So all of this is in Abraham. So where is it coming? It's coming out of Abraham. It's coming out of the loins of Abraham. It's coming out of the interesting thing about the comparison between Christ and Abraham is this. I never will forget when I saw this, is that in Abraham, we came out of Abraham, but for this recreation to take place, we went back into Christ. We went into Christ's loins. We came out of Abraham's loins. We have been righteous through Abraham, through the promise. The deal was done through Abraham. So here we go through all of these areas of the law and the period of the time. And then to bring total fruition to this, Jesus takes all of the seed of Abraham back into himself. And we go through this process that literally unites God and man together. Man, I'm feeling like Paul right now, in that I'm running on about four different tracks here. I need to keep to the subject here. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen out of faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then that they, now what is blessed though? We've got to remember what's blessed. In thee shall all nations be made righteous. Because Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for cows and donkeys. You see, we got to stick to the subject here. See, our charismatic brains is cursed with this song. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I'm blessed in the north and the south and the cows and the fields and the... Anyway, you get the point. What is blessed? What is blessed? Blessed is made righteous. No other topic.
Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Yes. So we are blessed with Abraham out of faith, the same as being birthed of, the same as we were birthed out of Abraham's loins, then through faith, out of faith, we are birthed into righteousness. So then they which are ek of faith are blessed with faith. Blessed with what? You see, we allow these things. Now, what the average charismatic is going to do says, we're blessed with Abraham. Let's go back and see what the blessings were. Well, you pulled it right out of context of Paul's teaching. Paul's teaching is the blessing, righteousness. That's how we're blessed with Abraham. So what are we blessed with? We're blessed with righteousness. Who's blessed with it? All nations. How did it come about? In one, all are made righteous. As the gospel was preached before unto Abraham, that in thee shall all nations be blessed. In thee shall all nations be blessed. So out of one, all are made righteous. That's the gospel. Folks, we established that last week. Let me say this again. This is the scriptural definition of what the gospel means. This is what the gospel of peace means. This is what the gospel of grace means. I'm telling you, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. What does the gospel mean? What does the gospel of grace, what does the gospel of peace mean? It means in one, all are made righteous. That is the gospel. Verse 10, for as many as are of or out of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, I don't know of anything that should settle this matter of the law for anyone about being made righteous through the law. We can debate all day long as to what rules society should keep based on society norms, but to be made righteous before God, to be made righteous, it ain't going to happen through the law. But that verse 11, but that no man, how many? No man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Paul is so persuaded that he's saying, you know, folks, I don't even know why I'm teaching on this. This is so gall-darn evident. This is so evident that I'm not even sure why I'm running four trains at once to convince you of this. It is so evident that no one is justified by the law, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith.
By is ek.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were going to come to that. Okay.
No, thank you. That's what I see, and I wanted you. That's very good that you did that, because people. That's what we got to do, is arrest our minds at these points, especially with this term of being out of. Because, well, the just shall live by faith. Well, I guess I got to have faith. That's how I live, is by faith. No, the prophecy. This is a prophecy, folks. This is a prophecy. And I think it's out of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, actually. This was a prophecy. Now, what are prophecies about? The prophecies aren't about you. They're about Jesus. Who's told us that? Jesus. Jesus said, go study the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and these are they which speak of me. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live or live righteously.
I just went to the Septuagint to see how the Jewish scholars translated that verse out of Habakkuk. And guess what?
What?
The just shall live ek faith.
Yes. The just shall live out of faith. And the term live there, it's not just talking about, see, this isn't talking about, this is where the word of faith movement got and is so screwed up. Well, I live by faith. I'm going to believe God for my Cadillac. I'm going to believe God for this.
And it's always about my faith. My faith.
Yes.
My faith.
It's their faith and their car and my their faith, house.
Yeah, and it's got a number plate called prayed for, when actually it should say paid for.
Exactly. The just shall live righteously. Now, what is the word live there?
We're back in Galatians 3:11. 11, yeah. Sorry, just coming back from Habakkuk.
Oh, we could look at it in Habakkuk also, either one.
No man is justified by the law. What word was it?
Live.
Ah, that's Zoe.
The life of God.
Zoe.
The righteousness of God. That's what we're talking about. Yep. This is God's life is not made up in possessions. God's life is made up of righteousness. That is the life of God. Mm. So the just, those who've been made righteous, shall live righteous out of the faith of Christ.
So those who are righteous shall not live righteous out of their own faith, but they shall live righteous out of the faith of God or Christ.
Yep. Okay. Yes. Now, I this is one of those times when I want to meet Brother Paul and just give him a big old hug for standing in there. Do you realize what this man was standing against, this blast, this furnace coming from Jerusalem? Of opposition to these words. To these words.
Mm-mm-mm.
Those that are justified, the justified, those that are righteousified, as you have taught us, those that are made righteous shall live that way, shall maintain that righteousness, shall continue to be righteous out of faith. So how do you maintain your righteousness? The just shall live by faith doesn't mean, oh, well, I'm trusting the Lord to get through this traffic light. You know, well, I'm believing God for this and that and the other. It's just so, oh, folks, do not minimize the grace and the righteousness of God to such religious, self-absorbed idiocy. How do you remain righteous? It's not how do you get God to pay for your car. It's how you were made righteous. You were righteousified by the faith of Christ. Now, how are you going to stay that way? How are you going to live that way?
Well, it tells us right here in verse 11, the righteous. Now, that word just, the Greek word is diakosune, which is righteous. So here it says, the righteous have the righteous live out of faith.
Yes. And, you know, it reminds me of the verse, he that has begun a good work shall continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, we always said, well, he who has begun a good work will complete it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's not what it says. It says that the work that was accomplished will continue. In other words, you remain in the same place. Whatever will work Christ, it's not going to slip. It's not going to fall back. It doesn't mean by the end of your life it'll be completed, which is what we say, but that's not even what the verse says. And the law, now this is, here we go. And the law is not ek faith.
The law is not out of faith.
But the man that doeth them shall live in them.
You know, it's not the people who agree with us, it's the people who question us that help us make progress. That's how we've done it since day one. What are your thoughts on what we've just been talking about? Why don't you call me on area code 234-564-0971 and let us know what you think about that. Else you can just email us at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. That was freedom@gospelrevolution.com. What do you think about that?
If you need a lift in your spirit and want to have a great day, listen to thegospelrevolution.com.
Big bucket, and it's full of faith. And that big bucket didn't come from you. It didn't have its source in you. It had its source in Christ. And in fact, Christ is, the bucket is full of Christ.
Yeah.
And the bucket is called faith.
Yes.
So the righteous ones shall live out of that bucket by faith, or out of faith. And the law is not out of faith, But the man that does the law shall live in the law.
He's trapped in the law. Yes. You either are out of faith or in the law. Now, what are you in the law? Cursed. It is evident.
Oh, wow.
It is evident. And now you say, well, the curse was done away with. But let me tell you something, folks. If you do not allow the work of the gospel to purge your mind of this law, of this self-righteousness, you will curse yourself because your thinking will not allow you to move forward.
Because you will have a conscience of sin. You will have a sin consciousness, as Hebrews says.
And the blood of Christ is able to even... Paul was talking about people who were made righteous by Jesus Christ. He said that the blood of Christ can even purge your conscience from dead works. So, you see, the work of the cross is complete. But the gospel will renew your mind to where you think differently. And you think profoundly differently. Says, the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. How did he do that? For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's out of Deuteronomy chapter 21. Why did he deliver us from the law? Why did he eliminate law altogether? Why did he take us out of the law? Therefore, the only way that you can be out of the curse of the law is not be in the law. This is not the law's still there, but I'm not cursed by it. Oh, hallelujah. God's law is still in effect, but I'm not cursed by it. Thanks for playing. Wrong. The issue is that you are freed from the curse of the law because there is no law. For where there is no law, there is no transgression.
And if you are cursed by the law, guess what? Double jeopardy. Because Jesus was cursed, apparently. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And apparently you're going to be cursed as well.
Yes. You and Jesus are both paying the price.
The illogicness of religion leaves you breathless and wordless, really.
It really does, Barris. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham... Now, what is the blessing of Abraham? Let's not let our brains fly off into charismania here. That the blessing of Abraham, the righteousness of Abraham... Isn't that what it said? Let's bring our brain back to subject matter. Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for
righteousness.
There, that the blessing, the righteousness of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ. This isn't about what kind of car you drive. This is about the condition you're in while you drive whatever car you drive. Don't drive. You cannot even have a license and still have the blessing of Abraham.
Now, that word through in this case, so the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That word through is another Greek preposition. This time it's not EK. This time it's EN, meaning in. So the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Jesus Christ. The righteousness... is in Jesus Christ. How did the blessing of Abraham come on you? It came on you in Jesus Christ. Paul loves to say, his favorite, Paul's most quoted phrase is in Christo, in Christ. Now, Christian friend, if you believe that you're in Christ, and that's what your religion teaches you, and if you believe that Christ is in you, and that is what your religion teaches you, then guess what? In Christ is all the righteousness you are ever going to need.
Exactly. And Bears, this goes back to what we were saying earlier, that the comparisons between that we came out of Abraham, but we went back into Christ for righteousness.
Mm.
We are out of Abraham's faith, out of Abraham. The same as it talks about all the children that came out of the loins of Abraham. But you see, when Jesus was raised up on the cross, all of those same ones that had this covenant with Abraham, which was the entire world, went back into Christ to collect their righteousness. I'm here to collect my righteousness. And there's only one place I can get it, and that's if I get back, if I'm in Christ. Now, how do you get in Christ? It is not your choice. And we want to make sure that we do not close this program today and without making sure that you know you do not have to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. I don't want to ever close a program leaving someone with the assumption that it is your job to make Jesus Lord. Ah! Goodness, I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth.
Oh dear. Show was going so well up to then.
That the righteousness, the blessing, what is the blessing? Righteousness of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ. Oh man, Paul's running on 6 tracks now. If Paul weren't so brilliant, we could read through this very easily.
Yeah, truly.
He's just so brilliant.
Mm.
And you have to read the poetry of this, and you have to pick up, man, he is running on several tracks of revelation now, here in these few verses. Now he's brought in Christ in it, out of Abraham into Christ. Now, when we went in Christ, and this was a major teaching that came out 20 years ago that dumbfounded the entire Christian world, as to the point and location as to when in history, at what point does a man enter into Christ? There's only one point. We all entered Christ when he was hanging on the cross. If we entered, if that is indeed true, and you didn't enter Christ when you walked down the aisle, and that's just a lie. You did not enter Christ when you made your profession of faith. Your faith don't get you anything, but a good report. That's the best it can do. But what we went into Christ, so if we went into Christ on the cross, guess what? When he died, we died. When he rose from the dead, we've got this brand new creation on our hands. Oh, goodness. Here we've started 5 more tracks with Paul. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, what is the promise of the Spirit? The promise of the Spirit is righteousness, according to the context. And we receive the promise of righteousness through faith. Which one is that? Which is the word through? Is that in?
No, through is through. Through is a Greek preposition, dia. We see it in English, diameter, 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 through the middle. So that's actually properly translated. We have it through faith. But, of course, religion says, well, it's through your faith.
Yes. We've already established what faith that is.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, religion says it's through faith. See, therefore, it must be through your faith. No, it doesn't say it's through your faith. The topic here is righteousness. The receptacle of the righteousness is Jesus Christ. Guess what through this means? It means through the faith of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Now, he said, now let me just get this right down to just everyday transactions.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk about everyday transactions. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. once a contract has been signed.
You can't add any codicils or subclauses at the bottom or type in anything extra. I mean, it's a done deal. The deal is done.
You can't change what you thought they intended to say. Well, I think what they really meant, you can't even do that. Well, I knew them personally. And I think what they meant was, sorry, Peter, James, and John. the intent that is presumed cannot be added to nor taken away from. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now, what promises? That says plural right there. Now, when I looked this up in the Strong's, it didn't seem to indicate plural, Barris, but you have access to translation and translation ability there that I just don't have. Would you walk us through, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises? Because we've been sticking really close to what the promise is. The promise is righteousness. Now, to Abraham and his seed.
Well, this word promises is where modern Christianity gets its, hey, we've got all the blessings of Abraham, which are lots of cattle and a nice place to live, and other things, making it a plural. It's actually the same exact word as is used only a verse ahead, where it says, that we may receive the promise. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same word. This word is a mistranslation here when it says promises. And if you go to Romans 4, the very same word is used where Paul says, therefore of faith, that by grace to the end the promise might be sure. So this is a word, the plurality of which is determined by the context. And the context has been very, very tight up to here. And so this word is promise. It's simple as that.
Yes.
Singular.
Context has been absolutely restrictive as to what this could possibly mean.
Yeah, the boundaries are very well lined out.
Exactly. He saith not, and to seeds. You see, this goes from singular to singular to singular. And it goes from singular Abraham to singular seed. What was the seed? The seed was Christ. But wait a minute. What about us? I'm so glad you ask. Us went into the seed. Folks, get this awesome picture. We have one Abraham. We have all nations coming out of him, going into one seed. Oh, goodness gracious. All nations came out of Abraham. All went into one seed. One seed died. What has to happen to a seed before it comes to life? It has to die. What does a seed produce? It produces whatever's already in it. It can't produce something that's not in it. All out of one, all are made righteous. And we find that completion of righteousness because all came out of Abraham, all went into the seed died, the seed rose from the dead again, rose back from the dead in a new creation, thus completely fulfilling the covenant of Abraham. Wow. And now to Abraham and his seed was the promise made. He didn't say to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I hope you get that picture. I woke up with it this morning after Barris and I did the show last week, and that picture was burning in my heart so much, and I got up and I saw the parameters of this thought are very clear. And we did not. I failed to deliver that picture to you clearly. And I'm sure that there's many of you seeing this more clearly than I did this morning, seeing it better than Barris and I did. Mm. So, folks, yeah, let this, oh my gosh. Abraham's blessing is mine. The righteousness through the faith of one, in one, all are made righteous. That is the gospel. So does that answer your question, Vic? Next question.
Yeah, gone, Vic. Gone, Vic. You want more?
Cheers.
Oh, cheers, Vic.
I like when we have gospel revolutionaries we can make fun of.
And Vic is so eminently easy to make fun of. Any? Vic's been in touch with us a couple of times recently, and it's all been great stuff. Next thing I want to cover today is, hey, hang on, mate. You know who Lifeway is, don't you?
No.
Oh, come on, Lifeway. Lifeway is the Southern Baptist. It's a name of the Southern Baptist Literature. Oh, my gosh, okay. Well, Lifeway, there's a big old Lifeway, several of them, outlets here in Nashville, and Lifeway is where you go if you want to buy a book or anything approved by the Southern Baptist of the USA. And I notice they've got a book here called Gospel Revolution, Recovering the Power of Christianity, and this one is a leader kit. You could be a leader, or you could be a sheep.
Wow.
Yes. I want to know this. What are we doing letting other people use our name?
the name has definitely been around the planet. It's reverberating now so many times. Bears, I remember the first time I called this a gospel revolution, people gasped at that we would have the audacity to use the term revolution. And now the gaspers have turned into the ones who are trying their best to claim rights over the term gospel revolution. But everybody knows who used it first, so it doesn't make any difference what they say or do or how they use it.
Well, they're selling this for $79. I'd rather have the money in my pocket, mate, than know this.
Amen.
The case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
Sunday morning preachers got it wrong. What if all we need is good news, not building funds and church pews, and the Son of God's been tearing our walls down? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God above and Father of all. One hope in a life that was given, a new life arisen, one spirit inside of us all. The deaf can hear and the lame can walk, and the blind are made to see. Holding true to his design, that's all been happening to me. In a letter to believers in Galatia, who cast a spell and made you act the fools, you started in the spirit and you knew that you could hear it. Now the only thing you're following is rules. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God above and Father of all. One hope in a life that was given, a new life arisen, one spirit inside of us all. Jesus died and lives for us, reaching aside where he's hidden us, and believe it's not about the things that we do. Sin's been crucified, we'll risen as his loving bride. Salvation is to realize that it's true. There's nothing more to do.
My name is Billy. I'm from Kitco, Florida, and I just want to say hi and that I love the Gospel Revolution, and I just wanted to talk about a couple of things. The Gospel Revolution is all about love and acceptance and being the observer. Mike has a post, a podcast on that the most powerful position and the only position we have is that of the observer. And something I notice about what facilitates us in being the observer is being present in an attitude of non-judgment, where if I enter into the commentary in my mind that wants to comment and set forth its opinion on whatever it is I'm looking at, I lose that place of the observer. The observer doesn't comment as such the way our minds are used to commenting on what it is we're looking at. So if you want to be more of the present of the observer of your life, refrain from judgment and, well, opinion. What I think about a situation is not the observer. The observer doesn't comment in that sense of, I think this is whatever. So I just want to encourage everyone to be mindful of the present moment. It's the only moment you have. Thanks.
Heard the latest videos from the Gospel Revolution? You need to.
If you're wondering why I'm not on too many PowerCasts, because I'm spending too much time on YouTube and not watching it. I'm performing videos on YouTube. And if you have not seen one of those videos, you need to go to our video channel. Just log into YouTube and type in Gospel Revolution 1, all one word, Gospel Revolution and the numeral 1. Or you can link to it from our homepage on our website, gospelrevolution.com. There's a link to our YouTube channel. So, everybody, stay in touch with us in every way. Subscribe to our newsletters and listen to our podcasts and watch our videos on YouTube. And we'll see you everywhere.
And And so it is that we must leave you, family and friends. You know, you, our listeners, are the real stars of the Gospel Revolution. You may be a virgin listener or have been following the message for years, but if you're a virgin giver, we'd like to ask you to break the drought and call our office at area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeffrey about how you can join the amazing people who keep this gospel of grace and peace going out every week. You want to leave a message for Mike or a question for him to answer? Dial area code 234-564-0971 or email freedom@gospelrevolution.com. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com and on Facebook at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thank you to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands. All the gospel all the time is being broadcast 24/7 at myradiostream.com/gospelrevolution. And now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee.
It is good night from Mike Williams here in beautiful Houston, Texas, having a great spring day with a lot of rain, and it's just nice. Folks, I cannot tell you how grateful I am to have been able to do this show. What a privileged human being I am to get to hear the things that you say and to get to proclaim the things that Paul said to us, and to latch on to four different trains of thought that Paul had all at once and follow them all through. What an amazing, amazing ride we've had today. So thank you, folks, for being a part of it. If you enjoyed it, let us know. If you didn't enjoy it, let us know. We love you.
So there you are, stepped on you, sorry.
We love you.
We hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended does not mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
It's always better.
Gospel revolution.
Before you got the kids at the blues, why don't you listen to the gospel revolution.
Use only as directed. Absolutely no warranty expressed or implied. Contents under pressure. Use in a well-ventilated area. Do not use while operating motor vehicle or heavy equipment. No user serviceable parts inside. One size fits all. Parental guidance suggested. Severe pain has sometimes been reported and in rare cases, death. Limited time offer. Call now to ensure your prayer blessing. This supersedes all previous notices. This information is subject to change without notice. At all participating churches near you.